Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 18th, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made the choice for Yeshua, make that choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. That phone number is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And due to high volume of some of the calls I get from bogus, you know, things trying to sell me, please, sometimes it is a smartphone. You can send a text and if you don't get me, and let me know that you're calling, that it's your number, and I'll be sure to be able to answer it. Because sometimes after getting three or four calls in a row, I just don't answer it. Anyway, you can find updates, breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, everything at our ministry hub, which is simply what? ProphecyHour.com. ProphecyHour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which simulcasts live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. You're listening to radio and airtime costs. Needless to say. Anyway, let's thank our listener base in worldwide, in places like Sydney, Australia, Pretoria, South Africa, Berlin, Germany, Athens, Greece, and cities in the good old United States, such as Aurora, Illinois, Long Beach, California, Denver, Colorado, Boston, Massachusetts. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they podcast later tonight. But sometimes Washington, D.C., and lately, Aurora, Illinois has been outdoing them. Anyway, please follow and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Follow us on Twitter. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. Father, please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we're bringing back on Tom Mack with us, and he's a school principal. He's an owner at White College Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado, but you folks that are trying to publish a book, look him up. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, net certified network technician. He's a book designer, webmaster. Here are all these things. You can get a hold of him for that. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, a manager, an IT manager and controller. He's also mentioned at one time he was a tax specialist. He's not some fly-by-night person. He's well-suited to doing Bible codes, and he's a very credible witness. And I bring up Bible codes because Tom does a lot of Bible code research. He has researched Bible codes since 1996. That's 20-plus years of Bible code research. Well, you know, he got on tonight because Tom responded to something that I sent out a few weeks back, an article, which I thought we were going to go into tonight, but he changed gears on me. He sent me a PowerPoint and said, hey, this is what I want to talk about today. And he said that it went along with what my wife and I were talking about when we were guests on a Mega Man's radio program last night. Well, folks, for the record, the radio program my wife and I did today was also kind of an extension of that, and so you need to listen to both programs. It will help, but each program will stand alone. But anyway, so let's just welcome Tom Mack on, and he can explain where we're going with this. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. How is it going there today?
Well, it's going pretty good. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We sort of had a little bit of a change of gears, but after, because it started when the major and I were on Shannon Davis's program early, about 2 hours before you were, and we started bringing up a lot of this material. And then, Shannon sent me a note later that you were going to be on. So I took some time to listen, and it seemed like what you were saying dovetailed into what we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I realized we still have more to cover here. Because and we'll never understand this until we understand the history behind it. And that's basically where it's got to go, is we got to understand the history. Otherwise, it will never, and I mean never, make sense to us.
Yeah, you can, and that goes with all things. We cannot, that's why, like, the left tries to grab and erase our past because they want to change the way things are now. But we need to know our past in order to know rightly what's going on, not some guess. So history is dramatically important. Back to you.
Okay. First thing I want to point out is we need to look at four scriptures before we can start with any of this, because everything begins and ends with scripture.
Okay.
And the first one is a Torah reference, Luke 17, 26 and 27. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Notice it says days of Son of Man. There's a day of the Lord. This is days. So this is going to be a period of time. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And then the next two verses, these were not in the book of Matthew. The first signal was in the book of Matthew, but I think Matthew looked at the second thing and it made him sick and he couldn't bring himself to write it. So that's why the Lord allowed Luke to write this. He's a medical person and
right.
He probably had a little more experience with these kind of people. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In fact, in both cases, one day took them both. And that's an important theme in all this.
Right.
And so what we have to understand, there's two signals. The first signal is Noah. And what did we see in Noah's time? We saw genetic corruption and contamination. Genesis 6:2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And if you read the Hebrew in it, it was forcible. It was rape. But as usual, the King James Version tries to look at it and not be so harsh. But it basically, the Hebrew says, Bene Elohim, or sons of the gods, or God. That's really clear here.
Let me break in for a second. That term, folks, sons of God, you know, if you look in it, like a JPL, which is Jewish Literal Translation, you know, it just describes it. It describes them as divine beings. And all over, if you look to the original, it points to them being the sons of God, being the angels, and in this case, fallen angels, just for the record. But I'm a King James guy myself, but back to you.
Yeah, King James didn't quite get it here, but what they were dealing with was something that was very objectionable in the 17th century. And even in the 18th, when basically the version we pretty much use, these people looked at this and made them sick. The fact that they had to translate this was probably very hard on them because they couldn't imagine. They couldn't imagine things have gotten the way they are now. And so basically what we saw beings that should have stayed by themselves, but instead they didn't. And what do we get as a result of this? We get Nephilim. And Nephilim, from what we can see through history, and there's a lot of history on this, they were gross beings. In fact, I would theorize they don't even have a soul because of what they are. When you saw David encounter Goliath blasphemed the Lord. And this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing a genetic corruption. We'll explain how in a little bit. The second signal of the end times was Lot. And you pretty much read about Lot in Genesis 19. And basically stated, Lot talks about sexual corruption and contamination. But what's interesting is you look at these two things. Where did it get its start? Interestingly enough, you can go back and find all of this in Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Let me jump in here for a second because you're passing on to a different part. That first off, in a brief fact, folks, he mentioned Goliath. Goliath is called a giant. If you look up the word giant in the concordance, it says Nephilim. And so, you know, that was a giant. But the sexual corruption, you know, we were talking about this last night, the sexual corruption. This is, well, I'm hoping this is where you're going with Nazi Germany. They were doing all these experiments, and we were talking about last night about them taking right now. And I even had a hard time convincing my wife. I guess I'm going to have to go look it up. But they're talking about how they can take the genetics of two women, two eggs from women, and somehow, without a man's gene, make it into a baby, and synthesizing it or something, so they can do it without men, without the man gene. And so I guess it would have to be synthetic. But the Hitler was doing the same thing. Okay, back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I was listening to that conversation, too. The way they do it is they pull if you look, the gene looks like a ladder. And basically what you're doing is you're cutting the center of the ladder and forcing in another part to create a new ladder. But what they don't understand is when they do that, the male sperm is what transfers the soul. And when you try to do this without God, without the natural order, you are going to create a monster. This will not be a true human baby. I don't care how they try to cover it up. This baby will not have a soul. And they're going to have the same problem that women had with the Nephilim back in Genesis 6 and later on.
Right.
When, remember, there were seven tribes.
Let me contribute this to it. And I want to point out to the people, as I pointed out to my wife last night, you know, science has discovered, you know, we believe that life begins the second the egg and the sperm come together, that there is even a literal spark of life. I believe right then is when the soul, the spirit is injected in right at that spark. But there's a little, what do you think about that, Tom? There's an actual spark of life, a spark when that happens. Back to you.
That is, as you point out, when God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. When Adam had sex with Eve, they created a living soul. And every time there's a sexual encounter, the male sperm carries the genetics to bring a soul into that body, or to create a soul. And that's how that concept works.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
But what happened, then, the occult world has always tried to corrupt this. Because what they're looking for are manageable, palatable people without the ability to think for themselves. And this is what the SS was all about. The SS was effectively the deep state of Nazi Germany. Most Germans did not even realize the SS existed except for the Gestapo. And most people who ran into the Gestapo, it was not a good thing. But what happened in the 19th century, people started, Helena Blavatsky was one of them. She started the Theosophical Society. They were all into tapping occult power. And she started the Theosophical Society with Colonel Olcott, who was a lawyer who actually was a newspaper reporter after the war, and he ran into Helena Blavatsky, that's a mouthful, and they formed up the Theosophical Society looking for this kind of occult power. But they weren't the only ones. There was a man by the name of Lord Edward Bulwer Lytton. He was a minister of parliament from the Conservative Party. He wrote a book called Vril, The Power of the Coming Race. He borrowed from Plato's Republic. Remember, Plato's Republic taught of a benevolent dictatorship that would rule over us, take care of us, babysit us, cradle to grave, as Rush Limbaugh would say. But what they were looking for was a leadership, a divine set of people, or as Blavatsky and Alice Bailey both said, ascended masters. That's why the Nazis spent a considerable amount of money sending people over to Asia to look for these ascended masters. They went to Lhasa, Tibet, where they thought they would find them. They struck out, but they came back with a lot of literature and basically stated this became several research societies. However, it picked up more ground in Germany, where Christianity had depreciated for literally decades because of the higher critical movement moving in. So suddenly the Germans are starting to turn back to the paganism that was present before Christianity came in. We saw the Thule Society, and also we saw the Vril Society. They were both forerunners of the National Socialist People's Workers' Party, or Nazi is a German acronym. We don't really have that Z in our language the way they do. But the Nazi Party realized that the only way they could survive against the world was if they happened to have, or they could tap into, occult power. So they did everything in their power. And if you'll jump some of these slides, they put one man on it to try to discover what these rites were and how to do them. The guy's name was Wolfram Sievers. And if you go to slide 8, you can see a picture of him. And he's scary. And he was hung at Nuremberg.
Let me say this, you know, absolutely, the Nazis, man, they were into, I've always been a history buff all my life, so I always did research about Nazi Germany and World War II and all that, and, you know, yeah, absolutely, they were definitely into the occult, big time, and, you know, so you're hitting that nail right on the head, absolutely. How come? Now, folks, if you want a copy of this PowerPoint that I'm looking at that Tom sent me, if you send me an email, I'll send it. But I'm curious, Tom, is there a way I can just send it, like put it on my page with an attachment or something, you know, that they can just click on it and get it? Or do I have to do each page individually or something?
Do at the end of the program. I will go ahead, put it on my website, and then I'll send you a link so you can put that on your site.
Okay, that'll be great. Yeah, if you just give me a link, I can put the link on and bang, send them straight to your site. That would really, really be better. But now we got about a minute before station break, so I think you need to tell them where you're at.
Okay, but what we'll do in the second part, we're going to go into how the Nazis spread their venom to the world and how they passed on what they're doing, especially into the United States.
Okay, tell them where they can find your website. We've got 30 seconds before break.
Okay, go to whitestonefoundation.org and also biblecodes.co and the book publishing site is whitecottagepublishing.com. You can write me at tom@whitecottagepublishing.com.
Okay, so, folks, wherever you listen to this and podcast later on tonight, and I'll also put the links on the pastor's page, you'll be able to find these links. In the meantime, we got to go. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, it's already cooler outside. We've even had snow here in Kansas. We need blankets for the mission church really, really bad. We also need large print King James Bible. We just can't get enough Bibles, but we also need blankets, and we need your support for that. Yeah, and I'm especially talking about people that are over there in Wichita. If you have extra blankets, you could just bring them. That'd be great. And coats, all the things that you need for winter, they need for winter. Right now, though, we're also hurting. We need cold medications and things. We need over-the-counter medications, so a donation for that would be great. And so pray about it. Just pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. And, folks, you're listening to radio, and I know that you like it. I got people who tell me they've been listening to me for 14 years, 10 years, 5 years. People have listened for a long time. So if you're listening for that long time, pray about supporting it with a donation for radio if you don't want to help the homeless and poor. But, folks, remember, really, though, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers, keepers. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And tonight, I have a special prayer request. I ask that I need $4,000 for something, and I just pray that that would come at once for this specific need. And so all you have to do, if you want to donate that, you write on it specific need or towards that. It's just a prayer request, and so I'll tell you about it later. Anyway, if you don't wish to help with the homeless and poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order. You can call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Tom Mack. Are you still with us, Tom?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Amen. So go ahead and pick it back up. I'm finding your conversation really interesting.
Okay, well, what we find out, 1943, bad year for the Nazis. They lost at Stalingrad. They lost their entire 6th Army, 600,000 men got sent off to Siberia or were just killed. Stalingrad is probably, will go down in history as the most vicious battle of any war. And at that point in time, the leadership of the SS was turned over to Martin Bormann. And Martin Bormann realized that he had to come up with a new strategy, that Nazi Germany was not going to last more than about 2 years. He could see the handwriting on the wall. So for a year, he did what he did best. He planned. He planned and he planned and he planned. And then on August 10th, 1944, he called a high security meeting, and second level German leaders and businessmen attended this meeting at the Hotel Maison Rouge, which is in Strasbourg, France. And this was a very hush-hush affair. It's strange because the Allies were about 100 miles away from it. And any kind of push, they could have been there. But they weren't. Instead, they had SS men. Their orders were shoot first, ask questions later. And at this meeting, Bormann himself did not actually go. He sent a man named Otto Scheid. And boy, if somebody can get me a picture of Dr. Otto Scheid, I would be very grateful. But he outlined a program to establish a Nazi deep state world order. And as part of this new world order, A, they were going to move most of their secret assets to Antarctica. And then other assets would be moved to Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, and other points around the world that they had secured. One of the most interesting places they set up was Colonial Dignidad in Chile. It's now called Bavaria Village, but it was run by Paul Schaefer, who was a former corporal people in the medical corps. And they were most famous because they helped the CIA put in General Pinochet. And they did that on September 11th, 1973. They deposed a popularly elected leader, Salvador Allende, and General Pinochet ran a very brutal government that lasted until 1990. And lots of people got killed because their sin was not agreeing with the government. But if you go throughout South America, you will find all sorts of German communities that have been set up. And basically, what they did, they set up 750 new corporations, and they started moving their assets out of the old corporations into new corporations. And they set it up in neutral countries so that the assets would not be seized by Allied intelligence, because we were trying very, very hard to seize all Nazi assets. Didn't do a very good job. And one of the biggest ones that they went after was a corporation named IG Farben. And why is IG Farben important? They ran the business of Nazi Germany. They built the concentration camps. They created the gas that killed the Jews and all other undesirables. But after the war, this company was broken up. And you would say, oh, this is great. They're broken up. This horrible, terrible company was broken up. Well, not so fast. They may have broken up, but the management and the ownership was still the same. And the rich people of Germany still owned the pieces. And the sad part is two of those companies, Bayer, where have you ever heard of Bayer before? Well, they are ones who make your Bayer aspirin.
Yeah.
They just recently bought Monsanto. And what is Monsanto famous for? Genetically modified crops. And they,
wait a minute. I got to throw something into that. Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, that shows that they're into genetics, because that's what the SS and everything were more genetics. And so, you know, it's following quite a pattern here. And that's also pretty astounding. You know, they were preparing to lose the war a few years before they lost the war. And that made sense how they were able to coordinate all those things, because, you know, we've long, a lot of us have, we're in the proxy world. You know, we've heard about things about Antarctica, and practically everybody's heard that you know, some of the Hitlerites moved to South America. Well, this is all confirmation of those things. Back to you.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing that started hitting me, you know, being a good Iowa boy, I knew all about seed corn, and I started to study even when I was in high school about how they hybridized all the seed by making recessive genes primary. And you may say, well, what's so terrible about that? Well, it degrades the seed. And after a while, suddenly, instead of having something that's disease resistant, it suddenly becomes something that's picked off by every disease that comes around. And it became even more shocking when I looked in a farm journal. And I've put that up on slide 27. And I suddenly looked really close, and two of the five companies that distribute most of the seed in this country are former IG Farben subsidiaries, BASF and Bayer. And when you see all the seed corn and other corn seed companies that they own, you begin to realize something is rotten here. And when you realize that DuPont owns another batch of seed corn companies, and the other two that aren't directly owned are owned foreignly by a French company, which is also connected to IG Farben. Suddenly, our food production throughout the world is controlled by Nazi companies.
That's really interesting. The corporation, you know what, I don't know why, but I've never heard the establishment of the corporate, you know, I wondered how they were able to openly spend money. I mean, you know, because they had lots of riches, you know what I mean, because what they confiscated on everybody when they took over their countries and so on. But I did wonder how they were able to use it in the world. You know, who was the but it makes sense. They made new corporations, and let alone there wasn't the checks and balances that they could even get by now, but they were much easier to get by back at that point in our history. You know, we didn't have these electronics and things. And so, yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. Back to you.
Well, one of my first job out of college, I worked for the Iowa Department of Revenue. And one of the things I did was I audited a lot of large companies. And if I mentioned some of their names, you'd be stunned. But in most of these cases, these big companies literally own hundreds and even thousands of other companies. And you don't realize sometimes who owns what. You go buy something in the store, and two-thirds of the time, you're going to find out that even the stuff that was supposed to be organic is owned by some big company with connections to IG Farben. And suddenly, in fact, I was shocked the other day. One that I saw was one called Annie's. It's supposed to be an organic food company. Turns out it's owned by some big company now. You really have to pay attention. And you can't believe them when they say that they're organic. You got to check them. And you got to look at the ingredients. And the worst part about it is when you look at what happened to IG Farben, let's look at, they broke up into five companies. AGFA Gevaert is a Belgian company now. So what they did, they crossed the border. And you might remember AGFA, you got film from them. Now they're a graphics company. But they also do health care. A lot of the imaging equipment you see in Europe especially is done by AGFA. They also do a lot of electronics. They make a lot of electronic components. And they're slowly dominating the computer world. And then we've talked about BASF. They're a big food production company. And now Bayer is in it, but Bayer is known for pharmaceuticals. And they control a lot of pharmaceutical companies. And the other three there, Casella, Calle, and Horst, I can never quite pronounce that right. They're owned by a Swiss company called Sanofi. They're still selling pharmaceuticals, same as they were before. They're just under a different cover.
Right.
And you're saying, well, how do you know that they're doing this? Well, let's go look at another example. I want people to understand this is something that's done for a long time. Remember back in history when you studied trusts and you studied Standard Oil?
Right.
And John D. Rockefeller? Did you ever realize that when they broke up Standard Oil, that John D. Rockefeller actually got rich from doing the breakup of Standard Oil? There were 34 companies, and those 34 companies eventually all came back together into about three. Two of them are New York Stock Exchange Dow companies, ExxonMobil and Chevron. They were part of the Standard Oil thing. And what did, and also Marathon, I don't know that you see them in Kansas, but they're, you go further east in Ohio and places like that, you will see Marathon stations. That's part of the old Standard Oil. And the only one that didn't wind up American went to British Petroleum, Standard Oil of Ohio. And, but eventually they all went back together. And in addition, they grabbed Texaco and Unocal in the process. So, what happened? John D. Rockefeller got richer by breaking up his company. He still maintained control because he still had the stock. Because when they broke up Standard Oil, it was a civil case. Therefore, you could not take his money. And when the government breaks you up, there is no civil damages that have to be paid. So, but what we're looking at, we have companies now that are contaminating the seed. And the Torah says, and I quoted it, Leviticus 19:19, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment of mingled linen and woolen come upon thee. Yeah, what are the farmers doing today? They're sowing their fields with mingled seed. Not only that, most of the milk production in this country is done by Holstein cows. You know, the nice black and white cows that are supposed to be so friendly.
Right.
Well, they're actually a creation of two different breeds of milk cow. But by putting them together, you can get a lot more production. And so the farmers make more money, and so they're willing to go with it. And we have created so many different, like, apple varieties. I go to the store, and I can't even remember what most of them are, but they're all mingled together. I would like nothing more than to see an old Jonathan tree or some of the old versions, but they don't quite produce as many apples as the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
About the only thing that isn't mingled, surprisingly, is popcorn. Yet I still wouldn't touch Orville Redenbacher's.
Why not over Robert Redenbacher's, just for curiosity?
Because they are owned by a big company that is well known for its genetic modification.
Oh, okay. As far as popcorn, I used to, you know, pop it myself, you know what I'm saying, out of a bag. And then, like probably most people, we ended up doing microwave popcorn, and I buy usually just the cheapest. But I now, after reading study off the gas that comes off of microwave popcorn can kill you, I'm not even eating that right at the moment. I'm going back to popping it in a pan. Back to you.
Yes, if you want decent popcorn, get some Jolly Time. It's still grown out of Sioux City, Iowa, and it's and they keep pretty good control. I've actually met the owners, and they're not about to go the GMO route. They made it rather clear that they will never go that way. And that wouldn't surprise me. They come from Northwest Iowa, where there's quite a Christian population, and they're maybe familiar with these things. But, you know, now we've talked about the times of Noah being contamination of created things. Now we have the second curse from the Nazis, and that's sexual contamination. One of the things that was common in the SS was homosexuality. It was an interesting book came out a few years ago. It's now up to its fifth edition. It's called The Pink Swastika, and these guys have gone through and documented how, even though the brown shirts, which were heavily homosexual, you know, Hitler had them all killed in the Night of the Long Knives. But the homosexual thing just went into the SS, and that's where it stayed. And these guys documented it, documented the people that practiced it and how they passed it forward from the Nazi world even into our own world and even into the West, and how they have ties into most of the homosexual groups operating in this country.
Right.
And
right.
And one of the things to remember, Paul talked about this in Romans 1, that when you fall down the road of reprobation, he called it a reprobate mind, one of the things that's a sign is they fall into homosexuality. And we've seen that with a couple of so-called Christian artists who have come out and said they are gay. And when I see that, it tells me that they've departed, if they were ever there in the first place. And so what happened, we've seen both the times of Noah and the times of Lot put together, which is what Yeshua said would happen in the end times. And from a microcosm in Nazi Germany, it has gone worldwide.
Right. Well, you know, we're really basically at the end of the program. So, you know, you got about a minute. Take your time and tell them how to find you and how they can find this PowerPoint. And we will talk again, and whether it's about this, but I'm really interested in doing a program about, you know, Monsanto and the genetics of it. So if you want to think about that line. But anyway, tell the folks where they can find the video or the PowerPoint we're talking about or you've been talking about, and tell them, then we'll have to get out of here.
Okay. First thing, I will send you the link for it. You can put it up at your website, and I just soon have people go to your website and look this up. And
right.
This is probably going to wander into a couple of books at some point in time because, you know, this has started to come to me just this year. And right now, you know, White Cottage Publishing is doing The Sharp Edge of the Sword by Major Baird. And at the end of that book, we started talking about the Nazi deep state. And also we did a novel called The Copper Scroll Incident, which talked about the deep state. We will soon have a second book in the series, and it will go into a lot more detail. And Amazon. You can order them off of Amazon. Other bookstores carry them as well. Maybe not in their inventory, but you can order them. And
well, you need to give your website. I got to get you out of here like now.
Okay. The website is whitecottagepublishing.com, whitestonefoundation.org, and BibleCodes.co for Colorado. And if you want to write me, it's tom@whitecottagepublishing.com.
Okay. Well, that's great. We'll talk again, but I got to go. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. Be blessed.
Look forward to it.
Okay, folks, prayer about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help. And remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Pray about it, folks. Thanksgiving's coming up. Let's do that, too. Anyway, Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.